But if you have your Bibles this morning, I'd ask you to turn to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 24. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 13. I love this passage of Scripture. And I won't read it all, but we'll just maybe skip around a little bit of it and read a portion of it this morning, because I want to be, he didn't tell me how long, but I want to be mindful of the time. This is the Lord walking along with two of his disciples, the Emmaus disciples. And I don't know how y'all do it, but when I read and study, a lot of times I try to put myself where they're at. I like to imagine myself being as those disciples. And I can imagine, only imagine, the heartbreak, the sense of loss, the sense of helplessness and hopelessness as they have just experienced prior to this, just a couple days prior. They have seen their Lord and their Savior hanging on the cross, shedding his blood, laying his life down. They know that he's been buried in Joseph's tomb. And it seems like all their hope is gone, and they're downcast, they're downtrodden, and they're walking along. And you know the story, that Jesus comes and joins himself to them. And howbeit they do not recognize him, as we'll see in the Scripture. But I can just imagine the heartbreak they're seeing. So begin in verse number 13 and read with us if you would. "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, whom was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted it that it had been he which had should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done." Then drop down to verse number 25. "Then said he unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scripture, in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And as they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he set it meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And the Bible says in verse 31, And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." Then drop down, and just for the sake of for time this morning, to verse number 45. We find here that he is talking with the disciples. He's met with the rest of them there in the upper room where they are gathered. And the Bible says in verse 45, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures." Would you bow with me for just a word of prayer? Father, we come to you, Lord, this morning just as humbly as we know how. Recognizing, Father, today, Lord, that I have no power within me. I have no abilities within myself. Lord, I can't be a blessing to these people. Lord, I don't have anything to offer them, but I'm glad your precious word does. And Lord, I ask you, Father, that the sweet Holy Spirit, Lord, would be pleased for just a few minutes this morning to take this vessel, as unworthy as it is, and God, to use it for one purpose, and that would be to glorify my blessed Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, help him to be seen and not me. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. I want to speak to you this morning, if God would use us to, on this simple subject, open eyes and open minds. The Bible says in verse number 31, their eyes were opened. They had been walking, they had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. They had walked with Him for over 3 years, and in His ministry, as He preached and as He taught, they had seen the many miracles that the Lord had done, and they had been with Him for all of these things. Many of these things they were present for. They had watched Him, as I said earlier, as He hung upon the cross, and there as He died. And then to meet Him here, and to meet Him after the resurrection, really unexpectedly. They weren't expecting this, no matter how much they had heard it, how many times. I think as I read the scriptures and recognize the many different times that the Lord Jesus tried to prepare them for the days that were coming. He told them, the Son of Man must be crucified. And He told them many, many times. I mean, friends, just as plain as the nose on a warthog's face. He shared with them exactly what was going to take place, and yet they just seemingly could not get a hold of it. And don't misunderstand me, I'm not bashing the disciples, I'm not criticizing the disciples, because we have to remember at that time the Holy Spirit was not yet given, and my friends, they didn't have what we have today, and so we can't look down upon those this morning. But they were so discouraged and so downtrodden, and here the Lord Jesus comes, and I'm amazed at how it was just a simple little act of praying over the bread, the saying of grace, the saying of thanks, or whatever you want to put it, as He took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Just in that simple little thing, somehow there was something in that reminded them, hey, we've heard this before, hey, we've seen this happen before, this has taken place. Hey, their eyes were opened and they knew Him, and they recognized that He was the one that they had been walking with. He was the one that they had been talking with. He was the one that they had seen give sight to the blind. He is the one that had made the lame to walk. He is the one that caused the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak. It was the same one that had cast out the demons. It's the same one that had made the dead live again. It was the same one that had calmed the storms. It was the same one that they had seen crucified. And later, friends, they were going to see those wounds that was in His hands. When He gets over there, the Bible says that we can see. He tells us there earlier in it, He said, handle me and touch me and see me. And He showed them the wounds that was in His hands. And they said, yes, this is the one, the same one that we've seen. This is indeed the one that we've seen crucified. Indeed the one that we've seen buried. And now He's risen again the third day. It's the same Jesus. Boy, I like that when He said over there, when the angels were standing that day and they watched Him as He went out of sight there on the Mount of Olives, as He was taken up and taken up from the heaven, and now He's seated at the right hand of God, the Bible tells us. And they were sitting there, and I believe they watched Him till He was a small speck, and that speck was gone. And those angels said, why stand you here gazing? This same Jesus shall return in like manner. Thank God, the same one that seen crucified, the same one that's seen all these things happen to. Thank God He's coming back again. As our brothers already talked about, we're living in exciting days. We're living in the days like John the Baptist lived in. John was living from and seeing one dispensation or one time end and another time begin, and that's what we're seeing. I believe we're living in those days that Christ could come back. They would see the wounds, the same wounds that Israel would see over in Zechariah 13 and 6, we read, and said, one shall say unto them, what are these wounds in thine hands? And by the way, I do not believe they're scars. I believe they're wounds. And you say, what difference does it make? Thank God, a wound is still fresh. A wound is still fresh. And friends, I tell you this morning, salvation's still fresh. Boy, it's not something of the past. I've got scars on my hands. I've done mechanic work most of my life. I've got scars on my hands, and they're tough. They're callous. There's no feeling in there. But I'll tell you, those wounds have still got feeling. Those wounds are still fresh. Boy, I like that. It makes me shout. Amen. He said, where are the wounds? He said, I received them in the house. These are with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Zechariah 12 and 10 says, "And I'll pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. They shall mourn for me as one mourneth for his only son, and shall see him in, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." You see, friends, they're going to see those wounds. Now, I want to tell you, the Bible tells us about some more wounds that another one's going to receive. And we read in the book of the Revelation how that there's going to be a beast, how he's going to be wounded, but he's going to be wounded in his head. Hey, the Bible says that our Savior was wounded in his hands. He was wounded in his feet. There's a wound in his side where the spear was put in. I'm glad, thank God, we can recognize him. We'll know him. Oh, Fanny Crosby sung the song, "I shall know him, I shall know him." Hallelujah. She was blind, but she said, "I'll know him by the prints in his hands." Yeah. Amen. Thank God. That's how we're going to know him. I'm glad of that this morning. You see, he opened their eyes to understand just exactly who this Jesus was. His eyes were opened to understand the person and what he had done. And I can tell you, friends, it's a good thing when you and I recognize what Christ has done, what he's done as far as his death, his burial, his resurrection, even his, thank God, miraculous birth. So we put that one the very first. Thank God we know what he has done. And it's good to see what Christ has done as far as this coming to this old world. It's good to know that he was crucified. It's good to know, thank God, that he was buried. It's good to know, thank God, that he rose again the third day. But let me just say something quickly and I'll be done with my message. Friends, I'm glad it's not only good enough to know what he has done, but I'm glad one day that the Holy Spirit opened my eyes. Let me just back up. I'm glad one day the Holy Spirit opened my eyes and let me see what Jesus had done, to recognize what he had done. But I'm telling you, it was a greater day in my life when the Holy Ghost of God opened my eyes and let me see what he had accomplished. You see, it's not just the cross that is important. And I'm not saying we ought to take the crosses down. I'm not Rick Warren. Brother, I believe we ought to have a cross. But I believe he accomplished something on that cross. You say, what did he accomplish? Well, we find it over in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 53. It tells us exactly what Jesus Christ accomplished when he hung on that cross and what he was doing. I want to tell you, thank God he was not dying a martyr's death. Boy, he wasn't dying as a martyr. Thank God he was dying as the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. I want to tell you, the Bible says the old prophets looked for his day and didn't see it. But I'm glad we look back upon that day and he accomplished something on that cross. The Bible says here in Isaiah 53, I'll start in number three and I won't read it all for time's sake. But he said, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not." Look at verse number 4. "Surely he hath borne our griefs, he hath carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." You see, the Bible says he bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. I want to tell you, I'm so glad the day that the Lord let me realize. Let me just give you a word of personal testimony. I was brought up in church. I was brought up to believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Yeah. That's not popular today, but I want to tell you, he was virgin born. Yeah, that's right. He had a earthly mother, but he had a heavenly father. Yeah. Amen. He was virgin born. I believe that I was taught that he lived a sinless life. I was taught that. I believe that. I was taught that he was crucified on an old rugged cross. I was taught that and I believe that. I was taught and believed that the third day he arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And I believe that after that, I was taught and believed that he went back to the Father and he ascended back and he was sitting at the right hand of God. And I believe that he was coming back one day. And my friends, it scared me half to death to know that Jesus was coming back. And I thought about all those things and I said, that's wonderful. What's that got to do with me?
I'm glad Jesus died. I'm glad he rose again. I'm glad he's a coming back. But what's that got to do with me? Then one day, thank God, the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of me and he said, son, what he done for you, and he done it for the whole world. And he said, he has borne your griefs and he's carried your sorrow. And the whole world was thinking, they said we esteemed him as smitten. We esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Do you realize the crowd that stood around that day and watched Jesus crucified said, God's getting him. He's been an imposter. He said he was the Son of God. He said he was this and said he was that. But look at what God's doing to him now. They didn't have sense enough to realize that God was laying his wrath upon him, but not because of what any wrong that Jesus had done, but it was because the wrong that we had done and the world had done. You see, he accomplished something. He said he was wounded in verse 5 for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Hey, look up that word transgression sometime when you get a little time, and you'll find out that word transgression means to revolt. It means to rebel. In other words, the man that you know better, but you do it anyway. I'm not going to let God tell me how to live. You hear that in your churches anywhere?
Come on.
I don't want God. Listen, I believe God loves me and all that, but I don't want God telling me how to live. I'm going to tell you, God's got every right to tell us how to live.
Amen.
Amen.
He's
got every right to tell us what to do.
Amen.
Amen. You don't have no right to argue with God, but yet folks, they'll say, I know what God says. I've had folks in my study, and preacher, I know what God says, but I'm going to do so and so anyway. That's rebellion. That's just out and out rebellion. And guess what the Bible says transgression is? He said it's rebellion. Iniquity, that talks about the fact that we're fallen, we're wicked, we're just nothing to us in the first place. And he said, he hath borne, that he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was placed upon him. Listen, friends, when Jesus died on that cross, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, I understand that, but listen, aren't you glad that Jesus just did that for you this morning?
Amen. That
he died for you and he died for me.
Yeah.
Brother, he accomplished something on that cross. He is paying a debt that he did not owe, because I had a debt that I could not pay.
Amen.
Well, I like the old song. My brother, old Bill Stafford used to come around in Burlington a whole lot years ago when I first got saved. Old Bill would get up and sing the old song, There Was a Time on Earth, yeah, when in the book of heaven an old account was standing,
yeah,
for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below, but I went unto the keeper and settled long ago. He said the old account was large and growing every day, because I was always sinning and never tried to pay. But when I looked ahead and saw such pain and woe, I went unto the keeper and I settled long ago. Hallelujah. He paid the debt that you and I owed. Hey, look, you want to understand how great that debt was? I want to tell you, friends, when Jesus died, he died for every sin from Adam all the way to the last one that'll ever be born on the face of this earth. He paid for every one of those sins. Hebrews tells us it's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to forgive sin.
He made them all.
Brother, not a single one. Listen, those folks carried those animals in, sacrificed them daily. On the Day of Atonement, they had a special sacrifice there. But I'll tell you, not one sin,
that's right,
was taken care of.
That's right.
They were just covered.
Right.
I'm glad the day my sins ain't covered.
Amen.
I'm glad the day my sins are washed away.
Amen.
They're gone. I mean, they done. As one old black feller said, thank God they went down from the water. They ran down the ditch and they ran down into the little branch, and the branch fell into the stream, and the stream got into the creek, and the creek ran into the river, and the river flowed into the ocean, and the ocean carried them out, put them right in the middle, put a sign up, said no fishing devil.
Yeah.
Amen. I like that. Hallelujah. Our sins are gone. And it's because of Jesus. Because of him. I used to think, and I'll be done in just a second. I used to think how the heart of God, now listen to me, how the heart of God must have been broken as he saw his darling son hanging upon a cross being made sin, which he which knew no sin was made sin for us. And then one day when I was reading this, I read come across verse number 10, and the Bible said, yet it pleased the Lord. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, prolong his days. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Now, if I understand that right, God was pleased to bruise his son. He did that willingly because, as the brother has said, he loves us so much. And he wanted to make a way so that we could repent. Well, if it wasn't for the cross, we couldn't repent. We couldn't turn. We wouldn't have anything. You see, we forget something. Repentance isn't just turning from sin. It's turning from sin to God. And if God had not bridged the gap, Brother Frank, we couldn't turn to him. We'd have had nothing to turn to. Hallelujah. Glory. Then he says in verse 11, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Can I tell you this morning, my friends, God is satisfied. Listen, I'm saved not because God's satisfied with my life. I don't think God's satisfied with me since I've been saved. If you'll be honest, he ain't satisfied with you since you've been saved either. No, it's not a matter of us satisfying him. He is satisfied not because of what we've done, but he's satisfied all because of what Jesus Christ did. I am so glad that he opened the eyes so that I could see what Jesus has done. But I'm so glad that he opened my eyes and let me see what Christ accomplished in what he done. Amen. Then all of a sudden, my brother, I realized what all that had to do with me. It had to do everything with me. He was dying for me and dying for you personally. The songwriter hit it right when he said, when he was on the cross,